This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
So we get a lot of response from the question that's off of the Henrik Lundqvist item that we just had in Blitzer Prevent. And the simple question is, name a beloved New York athlete who did not win a championship. And I also think we just should also, an addendum to that is, name one that is still playing that might not win one. A beloved New York athlete. Don't just give me some random dude. You know, give me somebody that right now is beloved. There aren't many because everybody sucks. But give me somebody that's been playing a while and you're worried that, you know what, is a chance where he might not win a title. And you brought up Jacob DeGrom. Yeah. That might be the top of the list of active players who probably will not win a championship.
Yeah, if this was Family Feud, I would have been saying, are we going to pass a play? You know what I'm saying? That's definitely number one up there. Now, Saquon and all that stuff, he hasn't been around long enough. DeGrom has been around long enough. You know what I mean?
Two-time Cy Young.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
You know, it's not like the guy's been unbelievable.
I dare you to find me number two, number three, number four. Let's say it's a five-man list. This is Family Feud version of the Bart and Hines Show. I just hit you with number one.
Yes.
And I just struck out.
Number one answer.
You fill in the rest spots. Fill in the next spots.
Of current players? Current players.
No, current or players that were here.
That would be on that. That would be at that level.
We may have forgot one.
All right, let's see. 800-919-3776 is the number. Let's go with, let's see. Thomas and Manalapan has interesting names here. Thomas.
Hey, guys. Love the show. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
So two names that came to mind, specifically for me, my childhood hero, David Wright, comes to mind. Obviously, never won anything. We got to one in 2015, but
right.
He wasn't himself.
Yeah.
And then Mike Piazza is another guy that everybody in New York loves. Even I feel like guys that
Piazza's
aren't even Mets fans.
A really
love
interesting
Piazza.
Name. Yeah, because you know David Wright is like Mattingly. He's not a Hall of Famer, but a beloved player, and was really banged up. But Piazza's a guy, and he had heroic moments too, and got to a World Series with the Mets. Piazza's a real interesting name to put on this list. Thanks, Thomas. As far as those, you know, again, the beloved New York. You know, Piazza in New York, now I know he had a lot of time with the Dodgers, and then he went on to the Marlins, but, you know, he's known as a Met. He's remembered, really, for a lot of heroics with the Mets. And I'd say, Bart, that Piazza's somebody that you definitely put on the list with Mattingly, Ewing, and now Henrik Lundqvist.
So
I would say he's a beloved Met.
Don't you
think? The 9/11 home run. I mean, there's so many different things. The 2000 World Series.
But what I'm saying is, go ahead and do it. Do it as Steve Harvey would do it. Let's throw him to the list. Let's do it. Let's go through the procedures.
I would put him. Well, I mean, again, this list, Neff. I've already given you three names.
You got to say it. We polled a group of 100 people to see, you know, who was the most beloved. You know, blah blah blah. And
top five answers on the board. Name someone,
Mike,
who is a beloved New York athlete who did not win
Mike,
a championship.
Give me Mike Piazza. Ding.
That's right, where we're supposed to have the drop.
Yeah, exactly.
The drop's supposed to be there, but
he's still crying in the car because this conversation started off with Henry Lundqvist. That's why he's crying.
Mm-hmm.
He's, wipe your face.
I got you.
And stand up.
All right, let's go. Let's go to is it Bavik in New Jersey? I hope I'm saying that right.
Yeah, you got it right.
Thank you.
What's up, dude?
How you doing, man?
The one I was gonna say, this was kind of off topic, but Bart, for some, I've had love for Bart Scott ever since that playoff interview he did after we won our first playoff game. I don't know why. Like, this may be off topic, but I love Bart. And Bart is definitely up there with all those guys that should be beloved. He should have the more respect compared to the other guys who didn't.
Well, I appreciate that, but I wasn't here long enough. I was only here 4 years, so if you want to use my equivalent, there we go.
There
if you want to use my equivalent.
No, you got to do the X for this.
You got to do it.
Bart's not on the list. Who is
so
this?
So if you want to use me, you can probably go David Harris, because David Harris spent 11 great years here. He played at a high level for a long time, or DeBrickershaw Ferguson,
wait a minute.
Or Nick Mangold, Fat Thor.
You just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
Why would somebody put a picture of Derek Jeter? Like, I'm looking at our responses to the Twitter. Come on, people.
They're trolling you, man.
Trolling for sure. Mark is in New Jersey. Mark?
Oh, I love you guys' show, and I'm going to have to go with Eddie Jockeman.
Oh, yeah, Eddie Jockeman. A beloved Ranger goalie from the early 70s that was replaced eventually by John Davidson, actually. Traded to Detroit, and when his first game back with the Rangers, right after the trade, and the fans were chanting his name, Eddie, during the anthem, and he was crying. What a moment. I mean, you're talking about a moment. Let's see. This is interesting. Ultra 1972 said, can you count Vince Carter?
Yeah, Vince Carter.
Vince Sanity played for the Nets and got to an NBA Finals.
Yeah, and I think his Vince is more Carter. Of a community, but he played so many damn teams, it's hard for one to claim him. He was here for how long?
He was Air Canada. The Raptors really, right? You know, they claim him.
Let's talk about like more homegrown type of people or people that came over here and spent significant time. You know what I mean? I know Piazza came here. He spent significant significant moments.
Somebody put a GIF of Carmelo Anthony.
Ooh, yeah. You can go there.
Is that on the board? Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, Melo's like the last one.
He spent a bunch of years here. Second round was as far as he could get. Won a scoring title. All-star every year. Broke the Garden record, 62 points. But I tell you what, though, was he beloved?
He was beloved. People loved him, man.
I don't know about beloved. I would say he was appreciated at times and then not appreciated.
He was beloved, but it's like most things, right? It's like the whole Batman thing. It's like die the hero, live long enough to see yourself become the enemy.
This is one of those things, though, you have to understand. The list has to be – there has to be a standard because we are seeing some other names. You have to be somebody that was Hall of Fame or borderline Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I think that's important to this. Because we're seeing some other names being put up here, and I don't want to disrespect anybody, but I'm talking about when I say Ewing and Mattingly, who I know isn't a Hall of Famer, but borderline, Lundqvist will be a Hall of Famer. Like, you know, that's a pretty high standard. You mentioned DeGrom, which I think is unbelievable. Like, he's that guy that currently you would say.
Yeah, you can't say Syndergaard.
Could be on that list
one day. Hasn't played at a high enough level. You wouldn't say Syndergaard. Have to go DeGrom.
No, and there's no current Yankees because they haven't been around long enough, and you're hoping they are going to win a title. But, yeah. You know, like current Yankees, the only one would be if Aaron Judge never wins a title, you know, he would be on this list, wouldn't he? Everybody loves Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I wonder if all is forgiven if Aaron Judge, if they win a championship, then they'll pay him his money. But if they don't, they say, hey, man, we can't trust you to stay healthy, so we don't want to give you that money, Mookie Betts type of money.
But that's the Yankees. They never say that. Chris is in Wantagh. Chris?
What up, Bart Allen? How's it going?
Good.
I got the name for this list. Bart, you know, it wasn't you, but he played on your team. And then he went and won a title with the Patriots. Darrell Revis is without a doubt the worst of the best. He was the greatest Jet ever, and he not only didn't win with us, he went and won with the Patriots.
Well, that's the thing is, look, yeah, I appreciate it, Chris, but he did win a title, so he's not on the list.
Right. That's why I said the Briggs are first and Fat Thor.
There it is.
Because Fat Thor is borderline Hall of Famer. I mean, he was just as dominant for a long period of time as Mawali. Kevin Mawali. So, I think he'll be right behind him. I think he'll eventually potentially get in because I think he's like an 8-time Pro Bowler. You know, I mean, probably 4-time All-Pro.
A real interesting name that is coming up, Curtis Martin.
Ooh, see that's why I started going.
If you're going Jets,
he wasn't around long enough.
Well, I mean, long enough.
How long?
They got to the conference championship.
But how long was he? Because I think of him as a Patriot too.
Yeah, but I think he's considered a Jet, though, isn't
he? True. I mean, he's like what, 4th all time rushing Hall of Famer. Absolutely, you got to go there too.
You know what? I don't know.
The fact that he's a Hall of Famer, I think it it begins there. But you're talking about a guy that let me get his. I mean, numbers wise with the Jets, he's certainly going to be your best.
Yeah, he run a bunch of.
He spent 3 seasons with the Patriots. He was with the Jets for 8 years.
Okay, yeah, he on that list. Listen, I don't know all the Jets facts, man. I just played for him. I wasn't here. I wasn't studying them.
Really.
I'm disrespectful.
That's what you're going to do?
I apologize.
No, it's an interesting conversation. I think the one that's most fascinating is who's on the risk for that. You know, like that's the thing is who's somebody that's sitting there and you're saying this guy could be on that list and DeGrom. When you said DeGrom, that's one of those damn.
Say Saquon Barkley, if they pick him back up, if they pick his stuff back up.
Is he beloved? Saquon?
They love him. He's such a great guy, man. Saquon is such a nice guy, man.
See, this is something
he's the Curtis Martin of the Giants.
If you tell Steve Cohen this, it makes him a little more maniacal with his money, right? Yeah. Like, I'm getting Jake off that list. I'm getting him off that list. Ewing, if you're power ranking Henrik, Patrick, Don Mattingly, right? Those three that are the givens. And if you want to put Curtis Martin on there, even though Curtis Martin with the Jets, you know, it, like, Jets fans loved him. I loved him. But I don't know if he was like a superstar, like even at the level that Henrik was in New York. You know, Henrik's all over the place. Like, you didn't have to know hockey to know Henrik, the king. You know, Curtis Martin didn't even have a nickname like that. But still, if you were going to power rank them, I would say Patrick would probably be at the top. Wouldn't you say Patrick would be at the top of that list?
Yeah, it was disappointing.
More than Mattingly?
Because his teams were good. And like, they were always knocking on the door, but they never could get over the hump. And you think about some of these other teams, they didn't even have the opportunity to kind of be there. You talk about, you know, Fat Thor. Like, he only played a couple. He had two playoff runs. You know, Patrick was in there every year. You had hope. But he just had that guy named Jeffrey just sitting right there. They were just like, nope. No, thank you.
Mm.
Then when he didn't have Jeffrey, got bounced.
That's true. Bill in the Bronx got a guy. Bill?
Yeah, guys, what about Tiki Barber with the Giants? Not only did he not win a title, but then when he leaves, they go on and win the title.
Was he beloved?
No, he was beloved.
He
was beloved before he said that about Eli.
Yeah.
Yeah. He went from beloved to hated pretty quickly.
Yeah, pretty quickly. Thanks, Bill. Yeah, it's an interesting list we put together here, man. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's a really interesting list. I do think Patrick's at the top. You're going to power rank the ones we do have on the list.
Yeah,
but
Patrick DeGrom. I think fifth will be Carmelo Anthony. Fourth will be Curtis Martin. And number three.
So you'd say Patrick, Mattingly, Henrik.
Yeah.
Then you said Curtis Martin. And then
Carmelo.
And Carmelo?
Yep.
Would you say that would be the list?
That's a solid-ass list.
I think that's a solid list. So David Wright doesn't make the list.
Nah, man, he wasn't good enough. He was injured. And it's not any fault of his own, but you know, we didn't think that he was always supposed
Mets fans
to be.
Loved
the,
him, though.
He was supposed to be the Mets Jeter, but he never turned out to be the Mets Jeter because he couldn't stay healthy.
That's a good point. Absolutely good point. All right, 800-919-3776. This is fun doing this, but let's just discuss the NBA Finals here real quick. Tonight on ABC, 9 o'clock is the tip-off. Game 1, Lakers Heat. LeBron's 10th appearance in an NBA Finals after taking that hiatus last year. The Heat, by the way, for them, they're 6th since 2006, going for their 4th title since 06, and that's a Pat Riley thing, of course. So basically it's Riles and LeBron trying to get that one more ring on their fingers. This is, by the way, the Lakers are a heavy favorite. In fact, third biggest Finals favorite, according to William Hill, in the last 15 years. It's only the third time, though, that LeBron enters the finals as the favorite, which is, you know, again, you'd think LeBron-led teams, everybody believes in them, but in fact, no, it's not actually true. Out of 10 times, I should say 9 previous times, only twice was he entering the finals as a favorite. But it does feel like the Lakers are set up here. Like, they have played so well. They have a veteran team. They are deep, and they've got the best player in the world, and then they also have Anthony Davis, who isn't too bad either. So when you look at this matchup, Art, and then you have the upstart Heat, which is Jimmy Butler and a bunch of guys that they literally just drafted, developed, put together, and have created themselves. And Dragic is a really good player. But you would not look at that roster and say, wow, that's championship caliber.
I mean,
what's it going to take?
I mean, we didn't even think that they would be able to get through the Eastern Conference. I mean, we had low bar for them, saying, okay, it'd be nice to win one, you know, maybe two. We thought the ceiling for them was maybe the conference finals. You know, so the fact that they've already made it this far has made them really exceed expectations. But we know that the Lakers can be lazy. They can start off that first game in the series. It's the one that you can get. And whenever you're one game up on the Lakers, you're one step closer. So this is the one that the Heat can get, right? Because we always know LeBron and Vogel. They always make the proper adjustments. But this time, I think they have just as great of strategists on the other side when you think about Spoelstra and his ability to adjust the game plan in-game and from game to game. It's going to take the Heat to make sure that they continue to mix things up, stay multiple, and it's going to take these guys hitting shots, big shots. And when LeBron says, I'm taking over the game and want to have these big runs, you have to make sure that you nullify, you know, his impact on that. And you got to make sure that you make him work. You got to make him work, work, work. And you can't allow him to rest when Rondo decides to be the facilitator. You got to get up in his chest and pick him up. You have to, and I know it sounds hard to say, but you have to be physical with him. Yes, I know he's a big player, but no easy buckets, no dunks, no transition buckets. If he goes up there, you got to get hard foul. You're not trying to hurt them, but you got to have a hard foul. You got to make sure that you got to understand that, listen, if you're going to get this, you're going to earn it. It's going to be rough and tough. And if we lose, it's going to be because the other guys are hitting big shots. It's going to be because Caldwell Pope is hitting shots. It's going to be because Rondo is continuing to hit, you know, 40% of his 3 points, because he definitely going to get them. And we'll see if they can penetrate that fortress that the Miami Heat's going to try and set up.
I'll tell you what, it's what we saw. You remember with that Portland series, that game one, where Portland was just making threes and the Lakers couldn't make a three?
Yep.
The Lakers have been hitting the three, and that's all about LeBron and how he's been able to facilitate. He finds the open man, especially those corners. You watch Danny Green in the corner. You see, you know, Caldwell Pope will be in the corner. Those shots are going to be available, but this 2-3 zone is interesting. The way he plays the 2-3 zone, that's what Spo does with the Heat. It has worked. It frustrated the Celtics. They did find ways to find the seams in the zone. But the Celtics didn't have enough shooting. They couldn't make a shot in the fourth quarter. It just wasn't there for them. That three is a big part of – it's obviously a big part of the NBA game, but it's going to be a huge part for the Lakers, because I think the Heat are going to take the paint away. As much as Anthony Davis has dominated the paint, and the Nuggets couldn't do anything with him. Jokic was just getting dominated in the paint by AD. I don't know if the Heat can allow them to dominate the paint. So if you take the paint away, the threes are going to be there.
Yep.
And I think it's going to be on that. We know the Heat can make threes. They've got a bunch of guys that can shoot it. So I think they have to be scrappy, but they have to be, you brought it up. Use your fouls. Be physical.
Yep.
I do think that's going to be a big part of it for the Heat. But they're a younger team. Now, there's no crowds. There's no travel. Like Pippen said, it is a different-looking finals. So will the younger Heat players not be as affected because you don't have that intensity of the stage of the finals? I mean, you're still in the bubble. It's still the same place. You've been playing all these games, and you're still only going to have friends and family literally in the crowd. It's all you're going to have there. So I think that's a huge factor in the finals. And I'll be curious to see if that zone works against the Lakers.
Before we go to break, are we going to break? Because my boys from Motown over there in Morristown, man, Motown Barbershop, you know, they said Charles Oakley, because the owner over there, Tyrone, a.k.a. Puffy, Creatine Chest, you know, he's best friends with Oakley from Cleveland. So
okay.
He said Charles Oakley. Yeah, I don't know if Oak makes that list. I don't know. He might be honorable mention.
He's not a Hall of Famer. Now, I'll tell you what, there is another name that was brought up on our Twitter feed, and that was Joe Klecko.
Oh, okay.
A guy that should be in the Hall of Fame.
That's some greatness going on right there.
A guy that should be in the Hall of Fame, was a beloved Jet, got to, again, conference championship, we all know. So Klecko's a real interesting name. So I got to revise, though, because we left the name out that we both agreed should be on it. So the power rank, the five are Ewing, Mattingly, Piazza, Curtis Martin, Henrik Lundqvist. That's the five.
We can't leave
beloved New York.
Carmelo
falls off the list.
He's honorable mention.
He's got to be, because Piazza, people love Piazza way more than they love Melo.
That's true.
So to me, Melo, Wright, Klecko, and you can put Oak there, too, if you want, are sort of the honorable mention types. I could put John Starks on there. John Starks was a beloved Nick.
Yeah.
People loved him in New York.
He was the original J.R. Smith.
Yeah, you could say that. Just didn't do some of the stuff.
I think we should give We should give a Nobel Peace Prize. I wonder if I'm sure it was a props bet or some type of bet in Vegas that J.R. would break
the bubble.
Bubble protocol. Now he about to mess around and get a championship, and he's contributed just as much as I have.
It is pretty amazing that he's gone this far, and he wasn't the guy. That it was. It ended up being Daniel House instead,
right?
Who hit on the test taker? It'd be calling me.
I'm so proud of you, JR. JR live in my hood, man. So I'm so proud of JR.
He's got a shot at another ring.
Wait till I see him at Lifetime, man. Wait till I see him at Lifetime. Man, just imagine. I don't know. I wonder if he's going to have that same energy taking his shirt off knowing that he ain't do nothing.
Oh, why not? He's got a ring.
Why not?
Sign up for the ring, baby.
Hey, as soon as you get the room, the little white boy that he punched in the face for messing up his car going to come back and sue him for his ring. he just landed in the weeds.
Maybe. It's a good conversation because Henrik Lundqvist bought out by the Rangers, so his era, that era ends in New York, and you just another great athlete that you loved, that people loved or at least appreciated or respected or however you want to put it, who did not win a championship. And so he's on that list with Patrick Ewing and Mike Piazza and, you know, maybe Curtis Martin and some others. But it's so funny how even though when you do that, it's like Ewing wasn't loved or, you know, They just make the different arguments.
Yes, you know, everybody has their own different point of view, right? Because it depends on when you were born, you know, if you're a fan, you know, if he didn't get your autograph. You know, everybody's jaded a little bit. But let's just take our emotions out of it, and let's just say that, you know, this list is pretty damn solid. And if you want to knock
Piazza's on that list, man.
If you want to knock somebody off that list, then you got to come with some facts to support it. You can't just, you know, say.
I think the only player. I'm sorry. The only player would be Curtis Martin, only because we use the term beloved, and I don't know if Curtis Martin was beloved. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if he was a beloved player. He was a very low-key kind of guy. Like, he wasn't big personality when he played here like these other guys were.
But he was a gentleman. So
I'm not taking that away.
Yeah, so I would compare him to Barry Sanders, how Barry Sanders is beloved in Detroit, and he never said a word. He was a mild-mannered, quiet guy, but people loved him. You know what I mean? So Curtis Martin was loved because all he did was go out and produce, and he was a guy that you can count on. You know what I'm saying? Had a little, you know what I'm saying, just for me, curls up in the top. You know what I'm saying? He's still around. You know what I'm saying? The ladies love Cool J. You know what I'm saying? So it's all good.
Oh, he's a fantastic player. There's no doubt about that. I'm talking about when you say beloved, how beloved was he when there are other Jets who you'd say, oh, that guy was like Joe Klecko. I think was a beloved Jet. It's just it was such a long time ago that there's a whole generation that doesn't even know who he is.
That's true.
You know, that's the only problem. But I grew up, that was my first favorite teams were the Jets.
Things, Klecko and Gaskin.
Oh, my God.
I mean?
That group was insane.
Marty Lyons, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, my man Marty Lyons, shout out. So, you know, like to me, like that's... you know, that's where the list starts to get a little dicey when you start how far back are we going, all that other stuff. All right, 800-919-3776 is the number. We'll continue with these and we can get them in, no question about it. Yeah, you know, J-Dub also mentions too in the notes here, Wayne Krabet was probably more beloved in that from that Jet era as a player. Like, he was beloved, but Curtis Martin's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
You know, so I guess...
There's levels to this.
Yeah,
Kevin Mawai, well, Kevin Mawai could have been on this list.
Yeah, again, beloved is a much is specific. Fans, and that's why, you know, Keyshawn actually, his issues with Krabet was basically because, you know, Keyshawn was the best talent on the team, but the fans just reacted differently to Krabet because he was Rudy.
I got a nickname for Keyshawn now. Keyshawn is he is the perfect person to be his alter ego is Roscoe Jenkins, team of me. Keyshawn, throw me the damn ball,
oh,
Johnson.
Man. Just throw me the damn ball.
Team? What team? I'm the team. I'm all the team we got. Get to the back of the bus. Wait.
All right, let's get to audio files.
The audio file.
All right, so Serena Williams, who has gone through a lot of injuries here throughout her career towards the end, and as we know, is still chasing her, you know, the ability to win majors. I'm trying, like,
she's trying to catch Martina. No.
Navratilova.
Yeah. See, I know I can jog your memory.
Yeah. Well, can you believe it, by the way, that Serena 39 years old?
Yeah, man. I've been looking at that cat suit for a minute.
Been watching Serena
she took them beads out. I was like, man. Could you imagine? I remember, like, I know she's married now. But, man, when she was dating LeVar Arrington, I was like, man, let me sign that dude up. I was like, man, if they have a boy, man, what could have been? Messed it up, LeVar?
Anyways, she had to withdraw from the French Open because of a left Achilles injury. And you know at that age, Achilles, don't mess around with the Achilles.
And
so,
black people after 30 has a higher percentage of tearing our Achilles because we have very high calves.
Is that so? Yeah, I think you brought that up before.
Yeah, I said it all the time. They were concerned with me when I got over 30 that mine was going to pull because they were so tight. Because if you start getting tight, they already kind of wound up. Just think about all the great African-American athletes that have pulled their Achilles and blown their Achilles out when they were past 30. Really want to talk to Julio Jones, Kobe. It was like a whole rash of them at one time. Damon Woody.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, Kevin Durant. Damon Woody blew his out. Like, it's just we got some high calves because we grew up in the hills of Africa, so we walk on our toes. That's why if you ever look at black people, their calves are high as hell. And if you look at, you know,
my calves are high.
Well, that's because you got a little juice in you, baby. You know what I'm saying? It's all good.
Thank you, man. I got some lift.
Told you we took you in a racial draft, man.
I accept. I told you that already too.
I think we gave up.
Tell you what, after watching last night, I accept even more. Anyways, both of it. The whole thing was just a, you know what. Anyways, here's Serena Williams when she was asked, is her season over?
Yeah, I think I need 4 to 6 weeks of sitting and doing nothing, and at least 2 weeks of just sitting down. And then from that, after that 2 weeks, I've been told that I need to start doing a little training. So I think I'm going to call it more than likely. I don't know. You know, doing the math on that, I don't know if I'll be able to play another tournament this year.
And listen, I know this is always gets dicey because I'm talking about a woman, but I'm not talking about her as a woman. I'm talking about her as an athlete.
Yeah.
You know, when athletes get later in their career, they have to do something that they may not want to do. And Serena's always been on the borderline of being, you know, carrying a lot of weight. We've seen Carmelo become bubble Carmelo. We've seen Chris Paul become bubble Chris Paul, go straight, you know, vegan meat diet. Serena's going to have to go to that type of levels to try and get this last win, because you got to take off a lot of weight and be able to not have to carry that same type of weight and muscle mass, because those joints and those ligaments have been used so much that arthritis is undoubtedly setting
in. You've seen athletes too. All athletes, when they get older, their longevity is based on the fact that they do actually get a lot leaner and lighter.
And it's hell.
That's why so many athletes cannot go further. Let me just correct something, by the way, Serena is going, she has 23 majors. She's going for 24, which would tie the record. And that's Margaret Court, by the way.
Okay.
So she hasn't won since the Australian Open in 2017. This is the earliest exit of any Grand Slam since a second round loss in Paris in the French in 2014. But second time she's withdrawn from a Grand Slam in her career. Also the French in 2018. So...
It's been the same since you had the baby, and that's a hard thing to put your body through. You know, but you don't delay starting your family because of a sport, you know, because family comes first, you know, and you only have a small window to kind of be a mom and do it in a safe time. But, you know, she made her decision, but, you know, ever since she's come back from having a baby, it's always been difficult because it takes
still
a couple
playing
years for the body to heal.
Yeah, it's still playing at a high level.
Yes.
Even after that, is still something, again, honored as one of the great athletes of this generation and maybe even many generations.
I think she's the greatest of the last 10 years, man. She's just as dominant. I mean, she's been just as dominant as LeBron during his reign. She's been doing her thing. And listen, the difference between her sport and everybody else's, she ain't got nobody to tag in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like everybody else got teammates that can lift them up. You can have bad shooting nights, and your teammates pick you up. She by herself, solo mijo.
Well, speaking of, again, teams, it's LeBron James, as we mentioned, in his 10th NBA Finals with his third different team now in the NBA Finals, and now trying to get his fourth title and third with a third different team. And it's been an experience. As we mentioned, Scottie Pippen said it's not the same. It's like pick up basketball. You're not traveling. You're playing in the bubble. You know, so it's a much different experience, but it's still having to stay in the bubble, endure the bubble, not be with family until just now families are starting to come into the bubble. LeBron James talked about bubble life.
Probably been the most challenging thing I've ever done as far as a professional, as far as committing to something and actually, making it through. I knew what I was coming, what we were coming here for. Obviously, I would be lying if I sat up here and knew that everything inside the bubble with what it would. You know, the toll that it would take on your mind and your body and everything else. Cause it's been extremely tough. But, you know, I'm here for one reason and one reason only, and that's to compete for a championship. And that was my mindset. Once I entered the bubble, once I entered the quarantine process, the first 2 days, and then right from our first practice, my mindset was to, if I'm gonna be here, make the most of it and see what you can do and lock in on what the main thing is. And the main thing was for us to finish the season and compete for a championship. So that's just been my mindset, you know, throughout these, I don't even know how many days it is. Whatever, how many days it is, it feels like 5 years. So it really doesn't matter. But I've been as locked in as I've ever been in my career.
Bart, like I said, I do think it's a different challenge. And the challenge is the team and the players, the stars especially, who could stay disciplined. This was really more of a discipline type run to win a title than ever before. And LeBron certainly had it. The focus and the discipline was the most important aspect, and he's had it so far.
Yeah, he's been locked in. And also what he's been able to do, like LeBron always does, is he's inspired his teammates to stay locked in as well. Always reminding them what we are here for. Never let anybody get distracted. Everybody's been locked in. They've only lost a couple of games where it seems like they were disinterested. And that was like the first Blazers start. And ever since then, they've been locked in. And they've been not wasting time and wasting the opportunity, which is what teams that have the killer instinct does. They put teams away when they can, and they don't let them have breath or give them hope. And if the Heat get this win, that's why you talk about, I would arguably say that he may not get the credit, but I think what he's been doing for this team has been just as important in Jimmy Butler as what LeBron has done for his team, as far as keeping them focused, leading by example, always coming with this effort and being willing to take the tough, difficult shots, being able to come. Some of the most impressive things I've had about, you know, plays I think that Butler's made is some of those clutch free throws that he's taken at the end of games. You know, and he doesn't even blink. He doesn't flinch. He doesn't run away from the moment. He embraces it. And he's trying to prove to everybody that he's not the problem where he's been. It's been everybody else. And when you do that, you're pretty much locked in because you're trying to prove a point to other people. All right, make them put their foot in their mouths.
And that leads us right to Jimmy Butler, who has his thoughts about his surprising team in the finals.
A really good team. That's it. A really good team. Not going to say that we're any better than anybody else, but I just don't think that we're underdogs. I don't. So what that nobody picked us to be here? That's okay. Pretty sure nobody's picking us to win either. That's okay.
Vegas has the Heat at plus 300 while the Lakers are minus 370. It's the third largest deficit, so the third biggest finals favorite the Lakers are in the last 15 years. You don't have to believe in the Heat, but you better respect them.
Well, yeah, you got to respect the entire program, right? Because it's a program and how they go about their business and make sure that, you know, they built this team in Pat Riley's likeness, right? A tough team. Reminds me of that old Kentucky team that lost to the Miners back in the day. But they were tough, right? Otto Rump's teams. He's learned from some of the best leaders in the game, man. And I feel like, you know, even though that Spoelstra's there, I think it's underneath the development and the tutelage of Pat Riley. And I
mean, what are we talking about?
So Pat Riley wants to win one without LeBron, but to win one without LeBron, he has to go through LeBron. How ironic is that?
All right, last but not least, so as we talk about teams and success and everything else going forward here in New York, what can the Nets become when the NBA does start up after these finals are over? Like when there's another NBA finals, will the Nets be there with KD and Kyrie and Steve Nash as their head coach? That's the plan. Well, Steve Nash was on the Woj pod and discussed culture with KD and Kyrie.
I think that first-year contenders often struggle. You know, they don't have that common experience. They don't, you know, they're not, like I say, you know, in the second round, conference finals, you know, being down 2-1 on the road, they go on a 12-0 run and the crowd goes crazy. You know, first-year teams perhaps don't necessarily handle that as well because of the lack of common experience. So I think it's important for us to be aware of that, to go into it understanding that and knowing we can't control that, but what can we control? And our connectivity is a big part of what we can control. So trying to put that in our DNA, or at least in our foundations here, to bring this group together, to not force it or be corny, but to find real value in each other and that connectivity, I think, is important.
Now, Bart, as we know, Nash has to feel like they've got to basically win now.
Yep.
Even with Durant coming back from the injury, it's going to be almost 2 years by the time they play again.
So you're talking about common experience, though, but this is 2 years, though.
Well, they haven't played on the court going through any adversity, and we saw LeBron and Wade went through it their first year together as well, where they had those moments. They started out at 500. They did get to the finals, but they did get upset in that finals by Dallas. So for Steve Nash, though, the window is small. You have basically 2 years to get it done, and you have to do it hitting the ground running. And he's trying to do that right now, getting them already conditioned to understand that when things go bad, we got to stick together.
Absolutely. We understand that he has two guys with deer skin, the thinnest skin in all of sports. I mean, they hear everything. They respond to everything. So it's going to be important for him to understand that you got to get that bunker mentality. I would make sure that no newspapers, no TVs are on. I mean, you walk into the Nets training facility, I'm going to make sure no ESPN is on. I'm going to make sure no sports is on. We're going to be watching you know, Price is Right and all that other stuff, because you know they'll go on a Twitter storm. You know what I mean? Yeah. KD get the ghost account, start going at people, man. Like, look, man, you wasting energy, man. Let's concentrate on getting this chip.
Gotcha.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, last night we went baseball. Today we go NBA as the finals begin tonight on ABC, 9 o'clock, Lakers in the Heat. Game one, so we will take a team. We'll put a team together from the Lakers and the Heat, and I think it's obvious, Bart, our MVP selection with the two times the points will be LeBron James. Anthony Davis will be the star. He gets us 1.5 points. Those guys usually put up numbers. Then we'll go with the pro. We're going to go Dragic. He's been solid for the Heat. I trust him. And I think, again, he's played so well through the playoffs for them. He's the pro. He'll get you 1.2 points. And then you get the two utility players. We'll go Rondo. And then we'll go Jay Crowder. From the Heat, and that's going to be our lineup there. Remember, it's always based on how much money you have to spend, and we went heavy at the top, but we expect those guys to put up numbers. So I think that's what we've got. What do you see tonight in this series before we get on to the Yankees and what they've got to do in game two? Do you think the Heat can come out and like smack them punch them in the mouth and catch them, or do you think LeBron and the Lakers have to look at this as let's get this thing done quickly?
Man, I see them sleepwalking a little bit. I see that Miami's going to come out with their best effort, understanding they have a healthy fear, understanding they're playing with house money. So I think they come out maybe a little looser, because all the pressure is really on the Lakers, because they're the ones that are supposed to win. You know, right now, you know, I think that because Jimmy's so mentally strong and Dragic is a professional and he's been around, you know, the league for a while, I don't think they'll be afraid. I don't think they'll be afraid, because at the end of the day, when you're afraid to hit shots. You're never afraid to play defense. You're never afraid to have effort. And this Heat team has showed a tremendous amount of effort. You know, you think about just their tenacious defense throughout the entire postseason and the commitment to it. I think that when things go bad, they're going to hang their hat and they're going to rely on their defense, and that's going to keep them in ball games.
All right, well, you got tonight now for the Yankees is a game two. After what Cole did last night, what Judge did last night, what they did to Bieber, and that 12-3 win, now you have a chance to put an end to this series and move on to the division round and wait for the what you expect to be the Rays and a rematch with that team. And, you know, again, a little bit of a rivalry happened between these two. You're looking forward to a series like that. But you still got to win one more here, and you got two chances to win one, and that's tonight. And you have Tanaka versus Carrasco, and Tanaka has to be playoff Tanaka. If you get a good performance from him, your bullpen was rested last night, and your bats continue to do what you saw in game one, and they are prepared, that's all you could ask for. But I still feel like there's a little bit of me that's hedging here a little bit nervous, because the Yankees have been that all-or-nothing team. One game they can look fantastic like they did last night, and the next game the bats can be, you know, completely
cold.
They can go ice cold. So we'll see what happens. The game's tonight on ESPN. ESPN. We also have it on 98.7 ESPN live, and also Chris Carlin after the game with a post-game show until midnight to take all your calls. So, Bar, I'm telling you, like, we've got something tonight that I think is going to be very interesting to see. Is if would you start believing in the Yankees if they come out and do another smackdown, Tanaka pitches well, and this series is over quickly?
No, nothing makes me believe in the Yankees until they handle the Rays.
Yeah.
I think that's been their Achilles heel. So I think this is just a warm-up to get their bats. I feel so blessed that they're playing the Rays after, you know, this series, if they are able to advance, not before, because I think, you know, the Rays would have had the advantage early on because they just have that supreme confidence right now. And I understand that Judge is back and John Carlos is back, but I don't know if that's enough, man. In the words of Mary J. Blige, no more drama. I don't want no drama tonight. I don't want to have no drama where it's 1-1. I got to depend on J.A. Happ. No more drama. Mary J. Blige.
I'm telling you right now, nobody wants to see J. Happ pitching game three except for J. Happ. By the way, if you want to look for the NBA Finals on the radio tonight, we have that for you on 1050 ESPN on the AM side of things, so you can catch that if you're looking forward to that. But we appreciate all the comments and calls, as we asked about with Henrik Lundqvist calling it a career, or at least the Rangers buying him out, the list of the beloved New York players who did not win a championship, and the list continues on Twitter. Bart, great job. See you tomorrow.
Ahala.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.